The Old Testament reading this evening comes from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 11th chapter. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the Mass, the breaking of the bread, communion. These are all different names for the sacrament of the altar, the last of Luther's six chief parts of his small catechism. And Martin Luther purposely put this last because this is kind of the pinnacle of Christian life. Everything else builds up to this. And without a right understanding of the previous parts, you can't get the Lord's Supper right. You have to understand that you are a sinner, as the Ten Commandments boldly proclaim. You have to understand who God is, as we profess in the Apostles' Creed. You need to know that God is our Heavenly Father, who provides all good gifts, as the Lord's Prayer shows us. You must know that it is by grace, through baptism and God's work alone, that you are able to even approach God as a sinner. And you must know that the church has been given the authority by God to carry out the works of Jesus Christ on earth, forgiving sins and delivering his good gifts to his people. Every one of the first five chief parts leads up to the Lord's Supper, the astounding, gracious feast where God gives to us his true body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This coming Saturday marks the beginning of the Passover on the Jewish calendar, and the sacrament of the altar has its roots there. It was at the Passover feast that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, and Passover itself was a clear foreshadowing of Jesus' atoning sacrifice and his supper. Passover receives its name from being the last of the 10 plagues, when the angel of death struck down the firstborn male in every family in Egypt, but passed over the houses marked by the blood of the sacrificed lamb, just as we, who are marked by the blood of the lamb, are not struck down by God's wrath, but are passed over. The Passover, it foreshadowed the Lord's Supper. And because of that, many Christian churches have kind of taken up the fad of holding Seder meals or Passover meals on Holy Thursday. They say that these provide a moving emotional experience for us as Christians. They supposedly give modern Americans an opportunity to really connect with the Last Supper. They claim to provide a more historically accurate presentation of the Lord's institution of communion. And many churches have taken this up. And in and of themselves, there is nothing inherently wrong with having a Seder meal, as long as it is in addition to and not instead of the Lord's Supper. But there are some things that people don't seem to be aware of. First off, there's no real evidence of the Seder meal as we know it taking place until after the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD. And so it's likely not the actual meal celebrated by Jesus and his disciples. In fact, what most churches use as the instructions for their Seder meals weren't written until early medieval times, making them hundreds of years removed from the historical accuracy that they want to claim. But the biggest problem is the claim that the Seder meal makes Holy Thursday more special than just regular communion. Yeah, it might be something you just do once a year, and yes, there's meat involved, and that's far more delicious than our normal communion wafers. But since the Lord's Supper is a heavenly feast unlike anything else in this world, there is no need and certainly no way to make it more special. The Lord's Supper is superior by itself. The Lord's Supper is the greatest thing that we could have. The Lord's Supper rises far above any Seder meal because the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the Passover. To replace communion with a Seder meal is kind of like traveling all the way to the Grand Canyon only to take pictures of the big green highway signs that say Grand Canyon, 12 miles, and to ignore what you've gone to see. The Lord's Supper is the fulfillment. It is the thing that all the signs of Passover pointed to. Passover was a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper, a sign of something even better that was to come. The Lamb is slain without any broken bones for the good of believers. The blood of the Lamb was placed upon the door, both down the sides and across the top. The blood of the innocent lamb spares God's people from his wrath and from death. And God's power sets his people free from slavery and bondage. All these things are celebrated in the Passover, but they are fulfilled in the Lord's Supper. It was right to commemorate the Passover feast every year and celebrate it. In fact, God commanded it, and Jesus himself did it. It is not a bad thing to remember by any stretch of the imagination. But that power and joy of Passover, that is but a shadow of the true salvation, the eternal freedom that God gave through his Son. Israel being freed from slavery to Egypt was phenomenal, but it didn't last. And their earthly lives didn't last. Our being set free from slavery to the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ, that lasts forever. In the Passover feast, we receive symbols and reminders of God's grace and might. But in the Lord's Supper, we receive not just signs and remembrances, not just things to look back fondly and say, oh, that was great when that happened. But in the Lord's Supper, we receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of everything that the Passover feast looked forward to. At this altar, we are not just getting bread and wine to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice. By the power of God's word, even if we can't understand it, we receive by our mouths the actual, true body and blood of Jesus Christ in and under the bread and wine. And we say under because we cannot taste it or perceive it in any human way. It is hidden from our mortal, sinful perception. We can't rush a wafer down to the DNA lab and clone Jesus, as some have crudely suggested, to mock the real presence. But just because we can't perceive it or understand it doesn't mean that it's not so. The Lord's Supper is not powered or limited by our abilities. It is the Word of God, and that Word can and does do anything. God has made it his body and blood for real. And as we eat and drink, we participate in his atoning sacrifice. We are bonded intimately to his work of salvation, and we are given the full benefits of his death in our place. In the Jewish temple and tabernacle, for many of the sacrifices, as the meat or the grain was burned upon the altar, those who were offering it would eat part of it. It linked them to that sacrifice. It showed just how clearly it stood in their place and who that sacrifice was meant to benefit. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice on our behalf. He laid down his life and forfeited it to pay the penalty of our sin. And so here at this altar, as we eat and drink of that sacrifice, of his body and blood, our sin is crucified with him, and we are given the full eternal benefits of his atoning death. We don't just look back with fondness, but we are made participants and full beneficiaries as we eat his body which suffered and died for us, and as we drink his true blood that was poured out so that we could live. This is why we take communion so seriously as Lutherans. Our practice of closed communion, it is completely misunderstood and very often ridiculed by those outside of and sometimes even inside of the LCMS. And if you think that communion is just plain old bread and wine or grape juice that makes you remember what Jesus did, well then, yeah, you'd be absolutely right to include anybody at all because it's just a memory thing. But the Bible is very clear that this is not just a remembrance, not just a memorial meal. Paul says that those who eat and drink in an unworthy, that is, unfaithful manner, are guilty of profaning the body and blood of Jesus. That doesn't sound like just a memory to me. That doesn't sound like something that's optional or something that you could just do if you feel like it. Those who do not discern the body and blood of Christ, he says, eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And so when someone comes to our church asking to take communion, but not really understanding that communion is the true and actual body and blood of Christ, I would much rather have them think that I am a jerk-faced fuddy-duddy for telling them no, rather than letting them feel good about bringing judgment upon themselves. "Oh, but Pastor," you might say, "this person does believe it's the body and blood of Christ. They're just a member of a different church body." Well, my first response would be to ask why they're a member of a church body that doesn't believe what they believe. And my second response is to point out that communion is not just between you and God, as so many people like to claim, but rather it is a public proclamation of fellowship and unity. And sadly, not all Christians believe the same things, and many deny clear and basic points of doctrine as revealed by Scripture. To commune in church is to publicly profess that you believe everything that is taught at this altar. To be a member of a church is to publicly profess the same thing. And so it is dishonest and hypocritical to publicly profess belief in two contradictory church teachings, to commune at one altar while being a member at another. Whether people recognize it or not, our practice of closed communion, it is a practice that protects our visitors from public hypocrisy, but more importantly, protects them from eating and drinking condemnation upon themselves if they do not recognize the true body and blood of Jesus that we receive in this blessed sacrament. This is why we take years educating the youth of our congregation in what our church teaches and in what communion really is, before we invite even them to this altar. We treat it with great care and respect because of what God has said, because of what God has made it. Here we receive His true body and blood, and it is to be approached with reverence and awe and fear, not to be taken lightly. But the Lord's Supper, it's not just an act to be revered and held in awe. It's not just something that you have to strive years and years for and reach a point of perfection before you can actually participate. No. The Lord's Supper is a joyous, holy feast by which sinners like you and me take part in Jesus' sacrifice and by which we receive the forgiveness of all of our sins. Here in this supper, God, the one true God, creator and ruler of all things, gives you Himself. Not in some imaginary, fanciful reenactment kind of way, but in a very real, very true, very intimate way, as you are nurtured by His true body and blood. And by that body and blood, because of His sacrifice and resurrection, because of the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ, you are cleansed of your sin. His sacrifice to pay the eternal price of sin, it is applied to your life. His works, His holiness, they are accredited to you. His holiness is imputed to you, and you are washed clean of all of your transgressions. All of this we are given in what looks like a very simple thing, the bread and the wine given and shed for you. But it is far from simple. It is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you could do to make this sacrament more special. There is no way that you can receive this sacrament too often because we need it all the time. There is no need to try to jazz it up or try to make it a more moving experience because here God Himself comes to you and feeds you with Himself. Here at this altar, in the Lord's Supper, we are given the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Himself. Here we eat of the same flesh that hung upon the cross to atone for our sins. Here we drink of the same holy, innocent blood that was shed for you for your forgiveness. Not in some gruesome, cannibalistic way, but in a way that unites us with Him in His sacrifice, which gives to us the full eternal benefits of all that He has done on our behalf. Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it is by his blood alone that we are spared from the eternal death that our sin deserves. He is the Passover lamb who fulfills every single Passover, who fulfills every sign that pointed forward to that glorious feast that we celebrate here. Here in the sacrament of the altar, as we commune with our Lord and with one another, the true blood of the Lamb marks us, not just on our door frames, but on our hearts, on our souls, on our entire being. His atoning death is applied to your life, and by his cross, by his empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.